The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Go.
Just a somber moment here on the Steve Noble Show. Remembering the fallen, the victims of the war.
Let me bring it down a little.
And we're just paying our respects to the deceased. Soldiers that fought bravely in the battle for truth. And who was said soldier? That would be our YouTube channel. All right, enough of that. So we didn't just get a warning on our YouTube channel this time. They ban us for 2 weeks at a time. Anytime I talk about COVID, anytime I've ever talked about COVID or the fact that COVID isn't the COVID
vaccine,
isn't actually a
vaccine,
stuff like that. And so that was just enough. They just had enough of my misinformation, disinformation, societal collapse, calamity, crazy talk. And so they didn't suspend us. They literally removed the YouTube channel. Like, it's gone. See ya. Goodbye. That's out. So, YouTube. Back at you, baby. Love ya. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Goodbye. Which, by the way, it's not where we house the Noble U videos for my online students. No way on God's green earth would I put these Christian perspective, Christian biblical worldview classes, hours and hours of that crazy nut job teaching on YouTube, because they would be banning that as well, which would be a train wreck. So we don't use YouTube for that stuff. Forget those guys. So we're going to set up a Rumble channel. Then I don't have to worry about it anymore, because they're really old fashioned over there in Rumble, believe in free speech. So we'll do that. So for those of you that would watch the show on YouTube because you were done with Facebook, well, now we're done with YouTube, and so that's not going to happen. So we'll set up a Rumble channel, and we'll push the video. We'll figure that out here in the next few days, and we'll push that over there. Speaking of video, so it's goodness versus madness today, okay? I'm going to start with four or five different video clips, and you'll hear the audio and radio. That's just the madness of what's going on in our world. I'll have a few things to say about that, you know, because that's what I do. So we'll do that and make some points here. There's some important things going on out there that we're going to pay attention to. Then we're going to turn the corner and we're going to actually play some good clips. All right. So we're going to do a little madness versus goodness today, but we're going to start with the madness. So first up, let's do this one. This is mind-boggling. This would have gotten me kicked off of YouTube once again. We'll see what Facebook does with it. So this is with the EU, European Union, and they're questioning Pfizer executive, okay, Jeanine Small, Pfizer's president of international developed markets. And she's being questioned by European lawmakers of the EU. And this one guy who's got, he's just a troublemaker, obviously, is wondering if, did Pfizer ever test the COVID, quote unquote, vaccine to determine if it actually stopped transmission before they released it? So that's what we were told. Get the facts if you love your neighbor, especially you Christians, and then that will stop the spread. So get the vaccine and no longer spreading it. So the question was a simple one and a good one. Did Pfizer test this, the vax, whatever it is, before they released it to see if it would actually stop transmission, which is what we were sold, right? That's what we were told. So let's go to this one first. Madness starts. Pfizer executive talking to the EU. Here we go.
So a question then for you, Ms. Small. Where I would like a clear answer, please.
So there are no misunderstandings. Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping humanization before it's entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk. I think our Dr. Budla, even though he's not here, would turn around and say to you himself, if not us, then who? Dr. Budla actually felt the importance of what was going on in the world.
Okay, that's enough there. Let's stop on that one. Okay, so you understand what's bad. You know what he's asking. Did you guys test your quote-unquote vaccine to see if it would actually stop the spread of COVID? So if you get vaxxed, then you can't. That's what we were sold. Get vaxxed, stop the spread. Right? Right? I'm not making that up. This is what we were told. Get vaxxed, get the vaccine. Pfizer's saying get the vaccine. Moderna, get the vaccine. And let's stop the spread. Especially you Christians that say you love your neighbor as yourself. Ha ha ha. You get the vax, and then you'll stop the spread. Okay, COVID person over there at Pfizer. Not some underling, right? This is the president of international developed markets. And the EU guy asked for a simple, either if you did do it, can I get the data? Or if you didn't, just give me a straight answer and say no. And so she's flat out. And then did you catch the little laugh? No, we didn't have any testing. We didn't know whether it was going to stop the spread or not, but we had to move at the speed of science. I love how we just make up terms these days. At the speed of science. Well, in case you ever paid any attention, science usually actually doesn't move very fast. Want to know why? Because unlike YouTube, science allows for argument, point, counterpoint, presentation of a hypothesis, then you test the hypothesis, and if it fails, if it doesn't work, then you go back to the drawing board. That's the scientific method. We have not done anything, hashtag science, when it comes to this COVID, quote-unquote, vaccine. Because there's no argument allowed. Just ask YouTube on our channel, which no longer exists. And they talk about, are you a science denier? Hey, listen up, progressive liberals. You guys are the science deniers. You deny the clear science, the overwhelming majority, by the way, of like biologists around the world would say that human life begins at conception. But what do you say? Hashtag not science. When it comes to the COVID vaccine, it's not a vaccine. The definition of vaccine doesn't fit. Hashtag not science. Hey, did you test the Pfizer shot to see if it would actually stop the spread of COVID before you put it out on the market? Hashtag not science. No, we didn't. We didn't question it. We didn't test it. We just put it out there and then we lied and told you that it would stop it. Lie, lie, lie. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Okay, the Pfizer executive admits they didn't test anything with the COVID shot in order to see if it actually stopped the spread. But we were told by everybody, go get the COVID shot because that'll stop the spread. And then especially you Christians say you don't want it. You obviously don't love your neighbors yourself. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's a big lie. That's madness. Okay, let's cross that one off. Let's go to another one. This is happening more and more. If you don't follow libs at TikTok on social media, you should. But they're just pulling videos of other people, libs, mostly off of TikTok, that are putting things up there. And shows you exactly what's going on out there, in this case, usually in the school system. Okay, so here is an elementary school teacher. He is trans. And if you saw the video, it's got like Joker-colored hair, green and purple. Can't tell just by looking. My assumption is this is a girl, but now I know that's offensive and I'm transphobic for even saying it. But listen to this. So this is the elementary school teacher getting into it with a couple boys in the class about the whole issue of transgenderism, and I'll have a couple things to say on the other side of that. Madness exhibit number two. Let's go.
I had a fun little conversation with my students yesterday. For those of you who are new, I am very queer. I am non-binary, and I use they, them pronouns, and my students know this. But yesterday, I had some boys asking about it, and I explained to them, like, here's how you use it. Here's an example. We use it in the English language all the time. And they respond with, well, if you're a man, then I can be a woman. And so I looked at him and I said, okay, do you want me to use she, her pronouns for you? And he goes, no. And I responded with, okay, so you're just saying that to hurt my feelings then. And he goes, what? No. Like, yes, you are. You're being a bully. You're being transphobic. And the boys around him kept saying the same stuff. Eventually I shut it down, but How am I supposed to call parents about this behavior when they're probably the people that they learned it from? How am I supposed to ask parents for help when I know that they're not going to respect me?
Okay, that's a teacher, a public school teacher, okay? Like, why would you drop your kids off to that person's classroom? I have no idea. But most of the time, a lot of parents don't even know. But if you go in there, if you saw the video, if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube. Oh, that's right, YouTube can't be on YouTube because they dumped our channel on YouTube. So if you're on Facebook Live, you watch the video, and she has kind of Joker hair, right? It's purple and green. So you're sitting there going, okay, something's a little off kilter here and some different types of piercings. Okay, this is not kind of a traditional person. So what's the deal? I'm very queer, she says. Non-binary, I identify as they, them. And then two boys in the class are like, well, then that I can just identify as a woman. If you're identifying as a man, but you're a woman, then I can just identify as a woman. To which she says, well, then fine. Can I just refer to you as she, her? Now, who uses pronouns like that when you're actually talking to somebody? You don't. You say, bro, hey, man, or the name, right? So she's like, well, do you mind then if I call you she or her pronouns? And they're, of course, like these little boys are like, no, because, you know, a natural law, they understand, because of their anatomy, that they are not girls. So they don't want to be called she and her. Then she's like, so you're obviously bullies and transphobic. And then obviously I can't call a parent. I'm not going to get any supports from their parents for this because that's where they're learning it. And so these parents are creating transphobic bully kids, and we need to do something about the parents, which is why you definitely don't want to allow them to come to a school board or have anything to do with curriculum at our schools, because all they're doing is teaching hate. Who's teaching hate here? It's this gender dysphoric, emotionally, mentally disturbed person who is a teacher in the public school system, who then is telling all the other kids in class, if you don't fall in line with this particular way of seeing the world, then you're a bully and you're transphobic and there's something wrong with you. I'm going to dress down these two guys in class. I'm going to embarrass them. And then the rest of you better get in line. And your assumption is when you're little is that your teacher tells the truth and they're an authority figure. Well, in this case, they're not telling the truth. They're not an authority figure. They are somebody that is indoctrinating your child into their own twisted, might I go so far as to add, evil worldview. They're little T truths versus a capital T truth. Okay? And they're in the classroom indoctrinating these kids, and little kids aren't going to push back. A couple little boys are being snarky, and then she says, you're transphobic and bullies. Then the rest of the class is like, oh, man, if I say something, if I'm thinking that my teacher is actually not a man, does that mean I'm transphobic and a bully? I guess it does. And then you just shut them down, then they just come over to your side of the aisle, and you're manipulating all these little kids at a very young age. That's mind manipulation, okay? That's abuse of children. Why are you talking about your own personal identity issues in the classroom? Reading, writing, arithmetic. A little geography in there. I don't know that I would trust you to teach history at any level, civics at any level. But that's what's going on. That's what's out there. So especially if you have kids or grandkids in the elementary school level or under, you better be getting to know these teachers. And if they have green and a purple hair, you might want to ask some more questions. Boy, that sounds hateful, Steve, and transphobic. Yeah, okay, whatever. All right, Joe Rogan, be careful with this one. So Joe Rogan tells a story about a friend. This is also in the school. Listen to this one. This one, another version of madness. Okay, here we go.
There's kids. Ready for this? My friend, his wife, is a school teacher. And she works at a school that had to install a litter box in the girls' room because there is a girl who's a furry who identifies as an animal. And her mother badgered the school until they agreed to put a litter box in one of the stalls. Yeah. So this girl goes into the litter room or to the girls' room and urinates or whatever. I don't know if she poops in it. That's pretty gross. if you could teach your cat, by the way, here's the thing. If you could teach your cat to use the toilet, you would.
Okay, so get this. Okay, you got this picture. So now you can go on. You can go online. You can find this. People, they're called furries. F-U-R-R-Y or F-U-R-R-I-E-S. F-U-R-R-Y-I-S? F-U-R-R-I-E-S? One or the other. Madness. And so a little girl in school now identifies as a furry, specifically a cat. And so the mom is just crazy enough, just child-centric enough that she's listening to her little girl said, Mommy, I'm not a person anymore. I'm a cat. Meow. I'm a cat, mommy. Oh, you are. Oh, well, who am I to tell you you're not? I mean, I'm not trans-species-phobic. So if that's the deal, yeah, mommy. And mommy, you know where cats go to the bathroom, don't you? Well, yes, honey, they use a litter box. Okay, well, please affirm me, and I need a litter box here at home. And not only at home, when I go to school, mommy, and I go into the girls' room, the little girls' room, which is offensive that they call it that in the first place. But when I go in there, they make me use a human toilet. And that's really offensive to me, especially since I now identify as a cat. So could you please call the school and tell them I need a litter box installed in the bathroom? And this school actually did it. Once again, I'm going with child abuse on this one. This madness is child abuse. It's this crazy child-centric thinking. Whatever the kid says, hey, my child knew when they were one they were transgendered. Whatever. My child knew at three they were homosexual. So then I'm with you on that. I'm going to support you because I need to support you because that's what we do. Everybody gets a participation trophy. And if you want to identify as a kitty cat, then I got to go with you. Otherwise, I'm going to permanently destroy you. And that's child abuse. No, allowing your kid to go beyond pretending to actually thinking and claiming they're a cat and then forcing the school by badgering them to put a kitty litter box in the bathroom is child abuse. It's child abuse by the school. It's child abuse by the guy that installed it. And it's definitely child abuse by the mom. This is the madness that's in our world. This is why we preach the truth and share the gospel. Because people need the truth. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Just a little madness versus goodness. We're not done with the madness part. That Joe Rogan, that's what we were listening to. He's talking to Tulsi Gabbard there. We're going to go to goodness on that one because she just left the Democrat Party the other day. So I'm going to play a little interview between her and Tucker Carlson from last night because she dropped that bomb yesterday. But Joe Rogan was talking to Tulsi Gabbard, and that's when he was talking about his friend whose wife is a school teacher. And this little girl convinced her mom that she's now a kitty cat. And so the mom badgered the school and was able to get the school to install a kitty litter box in the girl's bathroom. Okay. So, which takes us back to the trans teacher thing. And who do you think is jumping on the bandwagon here for giving hormone blockers, cross-sex hormones? Let's give testosterone to girls and estrogens to boys. Let's do all this evil, insidious stuff right from the pit of hell. Smells like smoke. It's the devil himself. He's all over this. All over. Goes right to the garden, and he's messing with a man and a woman and a family and now gender. And we can get organizations like Boston Hospital or the hospital in Nashville. Thank God for Matt Walsh, who's out there pounding away on these people. And he's exposing them, and then they're having to turn and change their ways. One group that's not going to do that is Planned Parenthood. They've been killing babies for a long time, making a lot of money at it. And then we underwrite them about $500 million a year through federal dollars. Okay, but look at that. Here's this one, Daily Wire. That's where Matt Walsh works with Ben Shapiro. Planned Parenthood's foray into child gender transitions. Excellent. So they're offering all kinds of stuff. There's services, cross-sex hormones, so on and so forth. And remember, trans stuff is now a multi-billion, with a B, multi-billion dollar industry. And where you can make money by killing babies or deforming them once they're born, then you do it. That's how the devil works. That's how Planned Parenthood works. This is evil incarnate. Period. Yeah, but Planned Parenthood, we give some good services like pap smears and stuff like that. We haven't hand out condoms. Mm-hmm. While you dismember children, and I'm sure if they could, they would offer double mastectomies to 13-year-old girls. I guarantee you they would. They rip children limb from limb in the womb. You don't think there's nothing that's outside of their grasp. The depths of their depravity, Romans 1, man. And then they'll clap for each other because they're all so enlightened, right, versus people like us. Okay, so there's that. Let's go to the next one. What's our next madness one? The University of Minnesota med students? Yeah. Oh, this is classic. Listen carefully. So this is the University of Minnesota medical students when they enter a medical school. They're led in this incantation, this chant that they all – that. And now I read into it a little bit, and the students and the faculty come up with this. So this is like their oath or creed when they're starting med school, in this case at the University of Minnesota Medical School, okay? And this, just listen carefully. Listen to all the woke ideology going on in here. And this is, I thought you were there like Hippocratic Oath to deal with health. No, 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 no. It's much broader than that. You guys are just, you're cavemen out there listening to me right now and watching on Facebook. Not on YouTube, but on Facebook. Okay, let's play it. Go ahead.
With gratitude,
they all repeat after me.
The students of the University of Minnesota Twin Cities Medical School Class of 2026 stand here today among our friends, families, peers, mentors, and communities who have supported us in reaching this milestone. Our institution is located on Dakota land. Today, many Indigenous people throughout the state, including Dakota and Ojibwe, call the Twin Cities home. We also recognize this acknowledgement is not enough. We commit to uprooting the legacy and perpetuation of structural violence deeply embedded within the healthcare system. We recognize inequities built by past and present traumas rooted in white supremacy, colonialism, the gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression. As we enter this profession with opportunity for growth, we commit to promoting a culture of anti-racism, listening, and amplifying voices for positive change. We pledge to honor all Indigenous ways of healing that have been historically marginalized by Western medicine. Knowing that health is intimately connected to our environment, we commit to healing our planet and communities. We vow to embrace our role as community members and strive to embody cultural humility. We promise to continue restoring trust in the medical system and fulfilling our responsibilities as educators and advocates. We commit to collaborating with social, political, and additional systems to advance health equity. We will learn from the scientific innovations made before us and pledge to advance and share this knowledge with peers and neighbors. We recognize the importance of being in community with and advocating for those we serve.
So help me, Satan. I mean, okay, this is where you need some discernment. There's some things in there about loving your neighbor and caring for people. Okay, yeah, I can make that case as a Christian. That's easy. But you're in med school. I don't want you woke. I want you trained. If you're going to cut my body open, I'm not particularly interested in how you view the injustices driven into the lives of the vast majority of the Indigenous people that were here before the colonial folks showed up. Okay, what you think about the environment, what you think about gender ideology, what you think about homosexual lifestyle, heterosexual lifestyle, whatever. But this is like, it's like the old thing by Pink Floyd, The Wall, and all the little kids just being programmed, right? They're just being programmed here. And in case you don't know, because you're a bunch of knuckle-dragging Neanderthals out there, if you don't know what ableism is, that's discrimination in favor of able-bodied people. So if I've got a certain job and you got to have certain abilities in order to perform said job, and I give that job to you because you're able to do it, I don't give it to somebody else because they're unable to do it. That's called ableism, and you're part of the problem. They are so desperate. This is the gospel heart here. They are so desperate for justification. They're so desperate to be made right. I got to do right things. I got to seek justice. But the one place I'm not going to seek it is I'm not going to bow down at the cross. I'm not going to go to that Bible. I don't want to hear about that God, that omnipotent ethnic cleanser in the sky. I don't want to hear about any of that stuff, because all you Christians talk about is all these things that I choose to do with my life that you say are evil aren't going to send me to hell. Okay, which is a uber simplified way of approaching it all. But you get my point. And so once you choose sides, you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You're a child of the devil, then you're going to throw down with all of it. But you still know because the law has been placed into your heart. Eternity has been placed into your heart. The law has been written on your heart. You have a conscience, so you know. Romans chapter 1 makes it perfectly obvious there's no such thing as an atheist. Everybody knows God exists. He's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The question is, what do you do with him? I don't want to answer to them. I don't want that moral law applied to me. I want to do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want. That's the deal. That's what I want. That's what my flesh wants. That's human depravity. But they still know somehow that they're disconnected. I know I'm broken. There's something wrong. I got a hole in my heart. So I'm not going to go to him, anybody but him. So I'm going to go to the social sciences and to the culture to justify myself, to make myself feel better. And so they just start embracing all this madness. They're slaves to the devil himself. That's why this is all spiritual. It's all gospel. The answer to all this madness is a transformed mind via a transformed heart via the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's all spiritual. All of it. Okay. Let's leave the madness behind. And let's go to our first good. Goodness versus madness. Let's go to our first goodness. This is a black dad speaking at a school board about CRT. This is awesome. You ready? Let's play this.
My grandparents are black. All 8 of my great-grandparents, all 16 of my great-greats. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's side, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not oppressed. I'm not oppressed, and I'm not a victim. I'm neither oppressed nor a victim. I travel all across this country of ours, and I check into hotels, and I fly commercially, and I walk into retail establishments, and I order food in restaurants. I go wherever I want, whenever I want. I am treated with kindness, dignity, and respect, literally from coast to coast. I have 3 children. They are not oppressed either, although they are victims. I've taught my children they are victims of 3 things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision-making. That is all. My children, we are not victims of America. We are not victims of some unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. And sadly, very sadly, one of those institutions is the American education system. I can think of nothing more damaging to a society than to tell a baby born today that she has grievances against another baby born today simply because of what their ancestors may have done 2 centuries ago.
There you go. So there's some truth, which means some goodness, some sanity from an African-American father at a school board meeting. Obviously, a domestic terrorist. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. Did you see the news about Tulsi Gabbard yesterday? So she came out, really strong statement, did a 30-minute podcast on it about why she's a see you later, sayonara, goodbye, goodbye to the Democrat Party, kind of like YouTube did with my page sometime in the last 24 or 48 hours, whatever. They didn't suspend us. They just said, your page is gone. Into the ether. Whatever. Like, that's really going to keep me from opening my mouth. Nice try, guys. Better luck next time. So anyway, Tucker and Tulsi. So Tucker Carlson had Tulsi Gabbard on last night, and she was explaining all this. This is pretty golden stuff. This is good stuff, which is why I wanted to share it with you, because I'm just trying to pass out a big bucket of love and smiles here. Okay, so let's play this one. Tucker Carlson with Tulsi Gabbard last night. Go ahead.
Tulsi Gabbard, thank you so much for coming on. That was quite a statement. I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, I, you know, we have Republicans on the show from time to time. They don't put it as clearly and bravely as you do.
True
so
that.
How do you feel? I mean, you've been in this party a long time. You were its future. You left. I mean, this has got to be kind of a fraught moment for you.
And you know, Tucker, as you know, I've always been an independent-minded person, a Democrat, yes, but an independent Democrat. And my loyalties are very clear. I love our country, and I took an oath both as a service member, as a soldier, as well as a member of Congress to support and defend the Constitution. And that's an oath that I take extremely seriously. And so when you look at this party, the today's Democratic Party, it's controlled by fanatical ideologues who hate freedom. They despise the Constitution. They actively find ways to undermine our God-given rights enshrined in the Constitution, like freedom of speech. If you say something and I say something that they don't like, instead of saying, you know what, agree to disagree, live and let live in the traditional liberalist kind of way, no, that's not good enough. They will do all that they can to destroy you, silence you, smear you, work with big tech, work with corporate media to actively destroy anyone who dares to even question their agenda. They are against freedom of religion. They are hostile towards people of faith, people who have their own spiritual practice, especially Christians, finding ways to be vindictive, to discriminate, to punish people who happen to exercise that freedom of religion. The list goes on and on, but the foundation of freedom is really what was at the heart of my making this decision, that I cannot be a member of a party that is against freedom and actively trying to undermine it.
Well, it was inspiring to hear that, but also disappointing. I mean, I feel like printing out your words and asking every Republican candidate who comes on this show to read them. And if you can't read them, I'm not voting for you, right? I mean, why is it so hard to say out loud? First of all, the people who are always talking about racism are committing it. Why is that so hard for people to acknowledge? It's so obvious.
It speaks to the whole environment of fear that those in power, these elitists in power, have fomented, to where people are afraid to speak the truth. They're afraid to exercise their right to free speech because, hey, you might lose your job, you might be canceled, you might be trashed, and God forbid in Washington, you might not be invited to the cool kids' parties. You might not be as popular. And this is really what it comes down to, is rather than taking a stand for peace, for prosperity, security, and freedom of the American people, we have too many people in Washington who are warmongers, subservient to the military-industrial complex, and continuing to put their own selfish interests or the interests of their donors first, with no mind for the cost and consequence that their decisions have on the American people. This is exactly what we're seeing right now with President Biden and leaders in Congress whose decisions are actively pushing us to the brink of a nuclear holocaust, of which they may have their bunkers where they'll be safe, but we, the American people, will have no shelter, no place to go, no place to hide, and face the consequences that could destroy all of humanity and the world as we know it.
You were the first person I heard say that back in February when this all started. I believed
you.
That's
why I ran for president.
Well, it turns out you were absolutely right. Really quick, since you did serve for so many years in the Congress, in the party you just left, you know everybody, of course. Has anyone called you today, your former colleagues, Democrats, to say anything to you?
One got in touch with me and sent me a text message with three thumbs up.
I would love to know who that is, but I'm glad you're influencing people. Tulsi Gabbard, I'm not going to ask you what you're doing next. We will all watch, but I hope you'll come back on the show.
Okay,
soon.
There you go.
I look forward.
That might have been Mark Walker, North Carolina, former congressman. He was on just yesterday talking about he texted Tulsi. He's known her for years. So that you got to love that. Okay, this is principle over politics. That's what's going on, which is why there's goodness here in this. There's principle over politics. Yeah, Emily on Facebook Live, Kristen Sinema, might she be next? Joe Manchin had his shot, but then he bowed down, right? So Joe Manchin's not going anywhere. Kristen Sinema, we'll see. It's going to be interesting because she's in Arizona, and the immigration issue is such a big deal there. We'll see. You have to have a lot of guts, especially if you're still in Congress. Now, right now, in the Senate, for somebody like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, that's a huge deal because it throws off the balance of power in the Senate. But if Republicans take control, okay, let's say they wrestle control, clear control, that's 52-48, whatever, in the Senate after November 8th, which is 3 weeks from 4 weeks from yesterday. So if they do that, then you're not throwing the whole thing up in the air. So then you might see some more defections like that. But it's easier for Tulsi because she's out. But for Tulsi Gabbard, even when she was running in the Democrat primary against Biden and all the others, I mean, you're like, okay, one of these things is not like the other. She doesn't fit. And the reason she doesn't fit is because she's about principles. And because she took an oath when she served in the military, she swore to defend the Constitution from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Then that's her deal. She's a principled person. She's not primarily a political person. She's a principled person. And this week in my U.S. history class, I was just teaching all the students. Remember the Boston Massacre? Now, the massacre is a bit of an overstatement, but that's what happens when the media gets a hold of it. Five people died. It was a terrible thing that happened. But there were nine soldiers that were brought up, redcoats, brought up on to trial after that. Do you know who defended them? Do you know who defended the nine redcoats who fired on the crowd and killed five colonials at the Boston Massacre? None other than John Adams. Can you imagine the grief John Adams got for doing that? But the reason John Adams did it is because he was a principled man. Thank God that he's one of the founding fathers. He was a principled man. He wasn't primarily political. He wasn't even thinking about popularity. He was thinking about principles. In a court of law, you have a right to a defense, i.e. the Fifth Amendment. And the Miranda rights, you have a right to an attorney. Wow, how about that? You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can't be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney. You have a right to not answer questions. Okay? So John Adams, principled rather than political. That's Tulsi Gabbard. All right, last one. This was a great, I just saw this ad the other day and shared it on Facebook. And this is Casey DeSantis, Ron DeSantis' wife. This is a one-minute ad. But this is one of the more powerful ads I've ever seen. So I just wanted to kind of end the show. I'm close to ending the show with this one. This is really awesome. We ready? Let's play this one.
I get asked all the time, who is Ron DeSantis? Well, he's the kid who grew up right here in Florida, working his tail off, paying his own way through school, then volunteering to serve in the Navy and deploying to Iraq. He's the man who I fell in love with from the moment we met. And he's the dad of three very rambunctious, energetic children. Mamie, our two-year-old little comedian. Madison, our beautiful, sweet five-year-old. And Mason, our four-year-old athlete. But if you want to know who Ron DeSantis really is, when I was diagnosed with cancer and I was facing the battle for my life, he was the dad who took care of my children when I couldn't. He was there to pick me off of the ground when I literally could not stand. He was there to fight for me when I didn't have the strength to fight for myself. That is who Ron DeSantis is.
Okay, call me crazy, but that's one of the most powerful political ads I think I've ever seen. And it's a minute. Personal testimony, heartfelt, obviously, especially when Casey DeSantis got at the point when she's talking about her breast cancer battle. And that is so powerful. Now, this is going to trigger some of you. But Donald Trump cannot create an ad like that. Melania can't do it. His kids can't do it. They can't do it. You can't do an ad like that with Donald Trump and have it be believable. You can do an ad like this with Ron DeSantis. And it's really powerful. So horrible things versus good things. Goodness versus madness. I'm hopeful about that, but I'm not eminently hopeful about Ron DeSantis. I think Ron DeSantis could be a great president. I think he'd be good for the country. I think he could do a lot of things like Donald Trump did, but he could do it with a lot more self-control and the way that he handles things. And it's not like Ron DeSantis is wimpy when it comes to the media, right? He's tough. He's very tough, but he's more nuanced and he's just better at it in terms of getting people to put up with you, right? But ultimately, that won't matter anyway with progressives. It won't matter. It won't matter anyway. Because you can be the nicest person on the planet, and it's not going to matter, the progressive agenda. You're an enemy of the state for them, state being God. So remember that. So, you know, that's one of the reasons we need to pray for those in authority over us. Pray for Ron DeSantis, especially as he deals with Florida, and all of our leaders. We need to be praying for all of them. With an R next to the name or with a D next to their name. Because when you consider the state of the nation, there's not a single politician on either side of the island, on the aisle, that has the wherewithal to deal with this. They need help from above. They need godly wisdom and godly power. That's what they need. And the only way that's going to happen, I think, in most cases, is we have to pray for it. We have to intercede on their behalf, which also is pray for the good of the city, because what's good for the city is good for you and for me. But man, pray for somebody like Ron DeSantis. I'm hopeful that one day he'll be the president of the United States. But my allegiance isn't to Ron, to that party, or to this country. My allegiance is to Jesus. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.